Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Lamed Gimel of Sefer Yecheskel, chapter 33 of the book of Yecheskel. And now we return to Yecheskel addressing, being told to address the Jewish people themselves. And so the psukim start by pointing that out. Vayidvar Hashem Elai Lemor, Ben Adam, Daber El Bnei Imcha, V'amar Et Lehem. Speak to the people of your nation and say to them. Radak points out that after having predicted the proper and appropriate punishment for the other nations, from the non-Jewish nations, we've done that for a while now. We've seen several prakim which dealt with that. Now Hashem returns to telling the Jewish people about their situation, and it's going to be to make a point that we've seen before, but that will recur. And as I say often, you have to say things a lot of times to get it accepted, even one time, maybe 10 times to get it one time. And we're going to see that here as well. That Yecheskel is being told that even though he says things again and again, he needs to say them yet again to get the point across. So these will be common points or relatively well-known points, but we'll see how they're said here. So, Eretz ki avi aleha charev, Hashem says, tell the Jewish people that when I bring the sword on a land, what the people do is they appoint a person, this is a metaphor, obviously, they appoint a person to be a tzofet, to either go to a high place or to go to an advanced place to see whether or not a sword is advancing, whether an invading army is advancing against their land. So let's say he in fact sees a sword or an invading army coming. So what he does is he blows the shofar and he warns everybody, look, there is an invading army, be careful of this invading army. So if people hear the shofar, somebody hears the shofar and he doesn't then take care to avoid the sword, however you would do it, and this person does not take proper care, and therefore the sword kills him and reaches him. So demo berosho yiyeh, it's his own fault, right? It's his problem. And not, so, and Rashi says avon mitato yidaresh miyad atzmo shepasha benafsho. He will be liable. It's not just it's his own fault, and therefore we shouldn't cry over the fact that he gets killed. He's liable for his death. So this ties in. It's just a casual Rashi. It's not really the essence of the parak, but it ties into something that in Western culture is often not recognized, that Hashem thinks that we are responsible to take care of ourselves. And if we don't take proper care of ourselves, we are guilty and at fault over it. So here, the Mobiro show, yeah, it's not just you don't have to blame the people with the swords who did it. And the truth is, you probably do have to blame them because they also bear culpability, because the fact that he didn't take care of himself doesn't give them the right to kill somebody. But the point is that he bears culpability, he bears liability for having not taken care of himself. That, too, is, in Jewish perspective, a problem, because Hashem can come to you and say, what are you doing? What did you do with the soul that I gave you, with the life that I gave you? And if you say, well, I neglected it and therefore died, that is not a sufficient answer, that is not an acceptable answer. So, in Hashem's eyes, as it were. Pasuk Hey, eight kol ha-shofar shema v'lo nisari, hear the shofar, and he wasn't careful, damo bo yiyeh, he is responsible for his own soul, v'hu nisar nafsham milet, and if he does take care and avoid the sword by being careful, so he has saved himself both physically, right? But also nafshomi that he saved his soul, because he now has saved himself. That's also saving a life when you save your own life. V'hatzofeh ki yiret acherev ba'a v'lo taka b'shofar v'ham lo nizar v'tavo cherev v'tikach mehem nafesh hu ba'avano nilkach v'damo miyan hatzofeh ed rosh. So let's say this tzofeh does not call out properly. He sees the sword coming. He sees the sword coming, and yet he doesn't bother to say anything about it. So notice the end of the pasuk. It doesn't say he's responsible, and the people therefore are not careful, and therefore some of the people will get killed in this army, in this metaphorical invasion. So it's interesting. The pasuk doesn't say the tzofer is responsible. It says hu b'avanon nilkach, the person who gets killed will have been killed for things that he did wrong. So Hashem is not claiming, and therefore just randomly people will die because this tzofer didn't take care of them. So that's an interesting claim as to how much and to what extent are we open to damage, death, destruction, whatever it may be, to things going wrong in our lives if we are completely free of sin. So the pasuk here is not so clear about that. The pasuk here seems to suggest that there would have to have been some kind of a preliminary sin before this person could be taken away and killed, so that when the tzofeh doesn't warn him, it's still hu b'avanon nilkach. But on the other hand, v'demo miyad hatzofeh drosh. But Hashem says, I'm going to turn the tzofeh and say, what happened that all of a sudden you didn't take care of him? The Sifrei and Devarim points to these psukim, or the coming psukim. So let's read psukim Zion through Tet, And we'll see the Sefer is going to say that this is the source, another source, for saying that the judge of the Jewish people and the leaders of the Jewish people bear responsibility for what goes wrong among the people. So the Pesukim say, "Vata ben Adam, tzofenet tatir levei Yisrael v'shamata mipi davar v'zarta utam mimeni." So the Hashem says to Yechezkel, you have been appointed that tzofe, you are that lookout person. And you have to blow the shofar, meaning you have to tell them what you hear from me. When I say to a Rasha, to an evildoer, you are going to, you are a Rasha, you are on a path that will lead to your death, and you don't tell him, right? You don't warn him from his path. He'll die, and he deserves to die. So you're not doing it, won't cause the death. The death is because he deserves it. But you will be liable nonetheless for his soul, because you might have saved him by warning him. But if you give the warning, right, if that's what you do, if you give the warning, so then we say, but he doesn't change, so he'll die for his sins, but you will have saved yourself from being caught up in that drama, meaning it won't redound to you anymore. It won't be any of your problem anymore. So I would just point out the Ramban notes that the whole idea of warning people, the Ramban reads these psukim and says the whole idea of warning people is when it's going to lead to their death, to their loss of life. And that's the way the Ramban understands in Shemot, when Moshe Rabbeinu does or does not warn about a coming plague. So it's only if that plague, if that makah, as far as the Ramban is concerned, if that makah will lead to human death, so then Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to warn Paro and the Mitzrayim before it happens. But those that don't have death, you don't see any warnings. That's his understanding of it. He gets it from here, that it's all rachamim from Hashem, it's mercy from Hashem, that Hashem, when it's a matter of life and death, so then Hashem will, as it were, go out of his way and warn the person about the consequences of his current course of action. So that's very interesting, because it does mean that not hearing from Hashem is not evidence that the person is fine with Hashem, that Hashem has no complaints or no problems with that person's conduct, because the Ramban is saying it's rachamim from Hashem, it's special rachamim from Hashem, and the special rachamim from Hashem is in the case of death. But other than that, apparently Hashem does not necessarily warn us ahead of time. And from here the Sifrei reads the Pasuk, this is a Pasuk in the Torah where Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about appointing judges of the Jewish people. Sifrei says, don't read it as, or it doesn't only read as Vasimim Birashechem, but also but Va'asham Va'ashemim or Va'ashamam Birashechem. Their guilt is in your hands, because the leadership of the Jewish people bears responsibility if there is guilt among the people that they don't take action to rectify or to warn about or to get rid of, so they bear the responsibility for that. Now, this can be exaggerated, right? It's not exaggerated, but it's like it says here, that if they did do proper warning, the people nonetheless stuck with what their own iniquities, so that's not going to be their fault. So it's not a limitless responsibility, but the leadership of the Jewish people do bear the responsibility to make sure that they apprise the Jewish people of their actions and the consequences of their actions and the flaws in their actions. And if they don't do that, they, the leadership, will bear liability and will quite possibly be punished for neglecting that duty, for failing in that responsibility. So Pasuk Yud goes on, V'ta ben Adam, Emor al Beit Yisrael, Kena martem lemor, Ki fesha'inu v'chatotinu aleinu, Uvam anachle nimakim v'eich nichyeh. So one problem is they don't pay attention to the warning. But the other side of hearing warnings and being of being fully aware of one's sins is that you might get depressed about it. You might say, "Well, there's no way out of it." And now Rashi thinks this is an excuse. Rashi says, "L'fichach enetam chavetzim l'shuv." You don't want to do tshuva because for you, matan shlo toyel lachem tshuva. You think that it won't help, and that's why you don't want to do tshuva. So the awareness, in other words, one problem is people refuse to be aware of what they've done wrong. That we've seen many times in Yechezkel and other Svarim of Tanakh. The other flaw is you become so aware of how evil you are and what you've done, appropriately aware, that it then leads to a sense of depression, a sense of futility, that there's no way to make up for it. So Pasuk Yud Aleph says, "Emor alehem chayaninu mashem elokim yechbos b'mot harasha kim yishuv Hashem midarko v'chaya." So Hashem says, "It's not true. You have to understand that Hashem never wants a rasha to die. Hashem wants a rasha to turn back from his path and live." Shuvu shuvu midarachem areim elamatamut beit Yisrael. Hashem says, "Just do tshuva, and why should you be caught up? And why should you, and why should you die?" Right, because that's what the call is. Pasuk Yud Bet v'atav ben adam v'moral b'nei amcha tzidkeret tzidik lo tzidlenu v'yom pisho v'risha d'arasha lo yikashel bah v'yom shuvo mirisho v'tzidik lo yuchal l'chiyot bah v'yom chatoto. So the pasuk goes on and it's emphasizing the point, and it's saying it's both sides of the equation. So that the righteousness of the tzaddik doesn't save him if he turns away from it and he becomes evil, and the evil of a rasha won't be a stumbling block for him, won't be a problem for him if he turns away from his reshut and he becomes a tzaddik. But a tzaddik can't use his goodness to still live in the times of his sins. So, but we'll go into the problem in a second. Let me just read a little bit more. Pasuk Yud Gimel, but read that tzaddik chayo yichyeh v'hu batach al tzidkato v'asa avel. When I say to the tzaddik, you'll live, and then he trusts his righteousness, he says, okay, so now I can do whatever I want. I've heard rumors of people like that. I've never actually met somebody who's willing to say it straight out like that, but I remember once being told about somebody who made a lot of shiduchim, and he had heard that if you make a certain number of shiduchim, you'll be guaranteed a share in the world to come. So he says, so I can do whatever I want because I'm guaranteed a share in the world to come. So it's not so clear here, right? That when Hashem says you're going to live, meaning have a share in the world to come, and then you rely on that to do avel, and then your tzidkot, your tzad righteousness, doesn't get remembered. And then the evils that you did, you will die for. So Chazal were bothered by this, and Rashi and Radak both quote Chazal saying that this is impossible because it sounds like Hashem is saying that you lose it when you do evil, right? So if I'm good, for 20 years I'm a tzaddik, and then something goes wrong in my life, and I start doing wrong things. So they're actually actively wrong things, and there's no excuse to be made for them. But nonetheless, they did it. Therefore, I lose all of the good that I did. So that doesn't seem to fit our understanding or our picture of how it is that Hashem functions in the world. So Chazal, in fact, said that that's a mistaken picture. That's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk doesn't mean that you lose them just because you do evil. The pasuk means that you lose them if you reject them, meaning it's b'tohel al harisha. Note we're talking about here that you look back on what you did and you are upset about it, you are bothered by it, you see it as a problem. So the Radak stretches that. The Radak says it's not only that you're bothered by it because you think it's wrong. Meaning, it's one thing if what happens is that the tzaddik is a tzaddik for a long time, and then he says, "Judaism, and I kept this, and I believed in God. That's crazy." So that's obviously tohel al harisha. Note. So it's still surprising and revelatory by the Jewish view of the world that b'tohel rishonot you lose your rishonot, right? So that already shows you that tshuva, as I said before, that the magic of tshuva or the wonders of tshuva is not that tshuva works. It's not that you can get rid of your evil. The wonders of tshuva are to show you that the control of one's sort of background, one's history, one's personal history, lies in one's own control, because to some extent, if a person rejects their past gets wiped out from being a meaningful part of who they are. That's sort of the message here, right? So this tzaddik, if he's tohel harishonot, what that means is that he's saying, I don't want the rishonot, and that the chiddush here, the novelty that we're being told is that you have the power to do that both in terms of good and in terms of evil. So if you reject the evil that you've done, if you reject the good you've done, it goes away. If you reject the evil that you've done, it also goes away. So that's sort of what's going on here. That's what we're being told, is of that power that human beings have to reject their past and to therefore walk away from it. That's one piece of it. The other piece that I thought was interesting to point out is that the Radak says, and it's not even that you reject it out of principle. That's one thing. But even if you just reject it out of wanting to enjoy the world more, and you say, what was I doing wasting all my time on Torah and on giving up on all the fun that I could have had, that too that will be considered a tohel rishonot, and that tohel rishonot will also be a sufficient problem that you would lose your rishonot. So that's a striking expression of it. Then the last piece I just want to mention, tohel rishonot. Have we seen that yet? No, okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph of Omri L'Rasha Motamud V'Sham Mechatato V'Asa Mishpat Tzedakah. when the if the Rasha rejects his pass, as we just said, so he too will be able to get away from it, right? Because what Hashem says is Chavol Yashiv Rasha Gzela Yishalei. If he returns the what he took and he pays back the gzilot that he did. In other words, you can't just be shav when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. You have to make restitution. And he goes in the ways of life, meaning the ways of Torah and the ways that will keep you alive. He will live and he won't die. All of the evils that he did won't be remembered to him at all. And he's done righteousness and justice, so he will live. So here the Gemara in Yoma points out that there's another there's elsewhere where we refer to tshuva as making your evils as if they are things you did by accident. But here it seems like they turn into merits. And that's what Reish Lakish says in the Gemara in Yom HaPeh. They're made like merits for you. And they quote our pasuk, V'shuv Hashem Yishatov V'asam Mishpat V'tzaka Aleihem Yechya. Is the pasuk they're quoting? Aleihem Yechya. I'm sorry, it's a pasuk further on. It's pasuk Yudchet. We'll get there. So let's get there now. Pasuk Yizayin. Rabu b'neim chalo yidachin derech Hashem v'himadarkam lo yidachin. So Hashem points out the people hear all this and they think about this. They say God's ways don't make any sense. It doesn't understand. There's no way that we can understand what He does and how He does it and why He judges us certain ways, and therefore they're upset about it. So Hashem says it's their ways that don't make sense. B'shuv tzadik mitzikato v'asa avel u'meit b'hem. If you reject your tzidkut and you leave it, so then you die and you lose them. He'll live. So part of the way that could lead people to say, well, Hashem's ways don't make sense, if you were tracking this, is you can imagine somebody is righteous for 45 years of his life or whatever it is, let's say 45 years of his life, and then he rejects it. He rejects Judaism or he doesn't reject it. And I want to make sure that I'm clear. And rejecting it sounds like rejecting it means in a way that everybody can recognize that you're now evil. But it doesn't happen that way in real life. People don't just wake up one morning and say, now I'm evil. They say, I've come to realize that really, and something stark with you that went over to Christianity or to Islam or to some other religions that you could imagine, you understand what's going on with them, but it might not even happen. He wakes up one morning and he says, I've come to realize that refraining from the pleasures of the world, including the prohibitions of Shabbos, I've come to realize that that's a mistaken way of understanding Judaism, and now I understand it this way. So nowadays you can hear somebody saying that. In those days, perhaps you can hear somebody saying, I've come to realize that our focus on serving only the one God is an error of judgment on our part, and really there are many ways to reach spirituality. This is a new age kind of thing you could hear today, but you could have heard back then, I think, equally well. It's a mistaken way to express our spirituality. It's too narrow, it's too restrictive, and therefore I've come to realize that it's appropriate to worship other things. And then he goes and does it. So people, and he's still a very nice person and friendly, and perhaps does kindnesses to others, although we tend, in the Tzukim Yecheskel, these people are also committing murder, but I suspect that they have ways in their own minds of justifying that murder, because it's rare to find people who, without any justification, simply do evil acts. They always have some way of, in their own minds, justifying it. Not that it's that they're accurate or correct, but that they nonetheless can say to themselves and to other people around them. So a person like this, if he starts getting punished as if he were a Rasha, people would say, and this is what Yechezkel is portraying, Lo yitachen derech Hashem. The ways of God don't make any sense. Here you have a great person serving God, doing all the things that God wants, and now all of a sudden he's getting punished, he's getting things going wrong. So Hashem is saying, you don't understand what's going on, you're not paying attention. What's going on is that this person has abandoned Hashem and lost his Rishonot. The same thing would be true the other way around. You have a person who his whole life is, or 45 years of his life, 50 years of his life, is a terrible person, does the wrong thing, everybody thinks of him as a Rasha, he is a Rasha. Then he wakes up one morning, he has an epiphany, a real, legitimate recognition of the evil of his life and what he's done wrong, and he wants to turn back from it. Hashem says, great, he's a Baal Tshuva, and I'm not going to remember it to him, those things, and if he does it. So the Gemara in Yoma says, so how could it be that Aleihem hu yichyeh, v'shuv Hashem yirishatov v'asam yishpat taka Aleihem hu, they'll keep him alive. You say, we don't understand the ways of God. The answer is, I'm going to judge you each according to the way you live your life. So the answer is, Reish Lakish says, that's in tshuva me'ahava. So when you do tshuva, it's different than tshuva me'ahava. It's a good one. It's a good question. The Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha has a beautiful discussion of it in Hala Tshuva. There are many other beautiful discussions as well. It's been discussed a lot. Tshuva me'ahava, at a very minimal level of definition, tshuva me'ahava is when you do tshuva with absolutely nothing other than the proper and appropriate motives at heart. And that the reason you're doing tshuva is because you recognize that Hashem runs the world, you recognize that you've done wrong, and you want to rectify that because you want to get on better terms with your Creator. Tshuva mi'ava, that's why you're doing it. Tshuva mi'ira is when you're doing it for other motives. You're worried about punishment, you're worried about your share in the world to come, you're worried about how you look in the Jewish world, whatever it is, it's good tshuva, it has value, but it's not the same level of tshuva that you have in tshuva mi'ava. But tshuva mi'ava, so all of your past becomes zechuyot, because they're part of your life story that eventually led you to come to realize and to accept Hashem's malchut, Hashem's rule, and to become a true Oved Hashem, and therefore the zdonot become zechuyot for you. So Hashem says, so you don't understand all of this, you don't see all this, you don't know of all this drama that's going on behind the scenes, and you like what I'm doing, you say there's no justice from Hashem. The answer is you don't understand what's going on and you don't see what's going on, but I, Hashem, am judging each of you appropriately and according to what you each deserve. And this is the kind of thing certainly people complain about, children complain about, children in high school, students in high schools complain about, right? Because real justice is individualized. But in systems, in human systems, you can't individualize justice totally, because it's just impossible to do, because we don't have all the information and we don't have the time to spend to really individualize every single thing and every kind of retribution or punishment or reward that people get. But Hashem is Hashem. So that's what Hashem is saying, and that's why we look at it and we don't understand what's going on. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayibish Deas Veshana Ba'asiri Ba'chamisha Dachodesh Likalutenu Ba'elai HaPalit Mi'Yerushalayim Le'mor Hukta Ha'ir. So in the 12th year, right, so it's in the 12th year, in the 5th month in Chodesh Av, that the Beit HaMikdash gets destroyed. So now this is already in the 10th month, on the 5th of the month of in the exile. So a palit comes from Yerushalayim to say the city has been struck. Just interestingly, there is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and you've kind of bet, where there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu which talks about Tzom Ha'asiri. So often we think of that as being the fast on the 10th month, which is the Asar B'Tevet, the fast of the 10th day, which would be Asar B'Tevet. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, no, maybe it's Chamisha B'Tevet, and that was the fast. The fast they're referring to was this fast here. And when Yechezkel came, they would make it a fast day, because it's if to them, for them, this is actually a topic of debate. There's a series of debates where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has a debate with Rabbi Akiva. That's what certain psukim mean. So in this case, this was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's claim as to what Tzom HaAsiri, had to understand that pasuk, and he said they made a fast day for that because the day they heard was for them like the day the Beis was destroyed. So just like we have Tisha B'Av, they would have this fast of the 5th day of the 10th month. V'yad Hashem Hayta Elai Ba'erev, and that night he has a nevuah lifnei bo apalit. The night before, I'm sorry, before the palit came, by yiftach et pi, and his mouth is open. I boy lai baboker, by yipatach pi, v'lo nelamti od. And when Hashem comes to him that night before, there's not so much a specific message in that coming, it seems like, but the point of that coming was just to say to him that, as Rashi points out, earlier in the Sefer, earlier in Yechezkel, he had been told that he had to be quiet, and he was told on a certain day his mouth would be opened, and then he would be able to speak again. And this is the day that it was going to be. This is the day that now he's no longer held back. Now the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. People in Bavel know that it's destroyed. So now they have the right. He has the right to speak again. So in Pasuk Gimel, Vahid Vahashem Elai Lemor, Ben Adam Yishvei Hacharavot Ha'ile Al Admat Yisrael Omrim Lemor, Echad Haya Avraham Vayirash Et Ha'aret Vanachnu Rabim Lanu Ha'aret Lemorasha. So he says, Ben Adam, the people living in these charavot, the Radak points out that in the time of Tidkiyo already, much of Yehuda and much of Eretz Israel was already chareva, was already destroyed. Now if that's true, or we accept the truth of that, then it's striking that they're still able to reject the messages of their Nevi'im, like Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. They see themselves declining, they see their land declining, and most of it is desolate. Nonetheless, they still stick with their old ways of handling things. Again, another example of watching how easy it is to ignore truths that are sitting there in front of us. Also, their claim, Avraham was one and we're many, so obviously we're going to hold on to the land. The land will be a morashah for us, is what they say. So there are a lot of ways of understanding this. Rashi quotes that Avraham only has one mitzvah, and we've been commanded many mitzvot, so obviously we'll get the land because we have so much to do. In other words, Avraham only had one thing to do, and he got a whole land because of it, so obviously we have so much to do. We're such representatives of God. That's an interesting thing to watch, right? They're being reprimanded over and over again for not listening to God, not following the mitzvos, and yet it's their self-picture that they will certainly keep the land because they're following the mitzvos. The Radak quotes other of Chazal's views of this, Right? So Radak, for as a pshat view, thinks it just means maybe in terms of space. If you got a whole land and there's only one person, we who have many people will obviously need more land. And he quotes Rabbi Akiva, who held that Abraham only served one God, and he inherited a whole land. We serve many, many gods. So that would be another example of them being so oblivious to their evil that they think of something that we think of as being an epitome of evil would be a reason why they would actually get the land. So Hashem says to them, it's unbelievable, because you eat all of your fine foods. The Rashi has it, you eat all your fine foods by killing people, by having killed innocent people, and that's what sort of funds your food and your eating, and you think therefore you're going to get a land, meaning you're committing murder. So Rashi only focuses on that. The Radak thinks, no, Allah Dantul Chalim means we actually eat the blood, and he thinks it's an example of Avodah Zarah. So they're worshipping Avodah Zarah by eating blood, even though that's against the Torah. Ve'nechem tisu, and you turn towards them, and the Radak points out, even though the Torah says you're not allowed to, and then also, you commit murder. So the Radak has this being a more thoroughgoing indictment of their actions, and then they think they're going to get the land. And then, you have lived by the sword, meaning, you've relied, Rashi says, you relied on your strength and your sword, meaning you don't have any belief in Hashem, you don't have any trust in Hashem, and then Asikento Eva, Rashi thinks means homosexuality, and Radak thinks, and which is important to notice, that Rashi thinks that that's how far they've sunk, that they're already committing these terrible things, and then obviously also regular adultery, and yet you think you will inherit the land, that's a question mark. Right? And the Radak points out, this is a Ramban also in the Torah, that you think you're going to inherit the land, the Radak came first, by the way. So it's not like you got it from Ramban, it's the other way around, probably. But the Radak says that the Torah tells us that this isn't the nature of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate such actions, and you think you're going to be able to stay in the land. You're doing all these things that the Torah explicitly tells you are the kinds of things that got the Canaanites kicked out of the land, and you think you're going to inherit the land. So Pasuk of Zion, Kotomar Alehem Komar Hashem Elokim Chai Ani, say to them that it's going to happen. They're going to be wiped out for the land. Those who live in the desolate places, meaning live in the leftover cities, will die by the sword. Those who live in the open fields will die by animals. And those who are in fortified places, they'll die by pestilence. I'm going to lay the land desolate and waste. And they will no longer be able to have any of their pride. It's going to be gotten rid of. Their pride in the land, and the hills of Israel will be desolate from nobody, and will have nobody passing through. And then we become, sadly, like the nations, and that all this has to happen to us so that we can know that Hashem is the ruler of the world. For all their abominations that they did when he lays it waste. Over vitchei batim, the people, your fellow countrymen, speak to you near the walls and in the doorways. And they each speak to each other. Each shenachim lemor bo'u na v'shimu ma'adavar yotei meit Hashem. So now they're going to all of a sudden start saying the fashion will be. This is the way the Radak really portrays it. The fashion will be to come hear what the Navi has to say, and they say to each other sort of in secret, because that makes it more have more cachet and more fashionable. They'll come with you before you like a whole nation, and they'll listen to you, and they'll listen to you, but they won't do anything. They're not going to do anything because they're not moved to do anything. They're coming before you because it's become fashionable to listen to Shiuri and listen to Divrei Torah, listen to Nevuot, but it's not going to move them, it's not going to change them. And you have to understand that because they want to do what they want to do. They want to follow their will. This is not the experience that any rabbis today have. It's just what was happening to Yechezkel, that he was faced with a group of people who would come and listen to the Nevuot, but not be moved by them, not be changed by them. It's like a song. It's almost like a love song. It's almost like a seductive song. It's just fun. You'll speak nicely. You'll make it again, and you'll play the melody well. And they'll say it's a beautiful speech, and they'll be moved to tears by it. Right? This is certainly you certainly have this picture in the 19th, 18th century of these darshanim who would travel from place. These preachers travel from place to place. They were really skilled. And they would speak for hours, and people would come in droves to listen. And they would cry, and they would be, you know, if he gave them musr, if he rebuked them for things they'd done wrong, they would cry, and they'd say, oh yes, you're right, oh it's so terrible. And they would go on living their lives exactly the way they did before. So that's the challenge of speaking. The challenge is in a completely different way of a nevuah, but it's not a completely different way, in a very related way, of a nevuah, of having the words that are said take root, not just take root like they heard them, not even take root like they quote them, or they respond to them, or they say how great that was, but they actually change. So that's something that's not going to happen to Yechezkel either. Uvvo'ah, hineva'an, and all of the evils that you're predicting for them will come. V'yaduki nevi ayabitocham. And then they'll know that they had a Navi in their midst. They'll know that you were a Navi. But in terms of making sure that it'll have an effect, that it will really move them and change them, so that, Hashem says, you can't really expect. But I will point out that Rashi or Radak, I forget which right now, points out that the reason that the time came now, that Hashem says to him, you don't have to hold back anymore, you can just give the Nevuot, and your mouth has been closed until now, but now you can just give up, to give out the Nevuot, because with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, there was at least some more room to hope that some, perhaps a greater percentage of them, would actually listen. So we can hope, watching this parak happen, that we will, and that in our times we'll be able to listen and hear the messages of these Nevi'im that we learned from, whose messages are still fully relevant to us, if only we listened, and if only we not only listened and said how beautiful the poetry was and how beautiful the locution was, but actually took those messages to heart and applied them. That would be what Yechezkel seems not to have gotten in his own time, and what we can hope for in our time. Have a great day.